I am Pierre Lumumba here at the Kenya Railways Museum in Nairobi, Kenya, of course, in the continent of Africa. And we continue our discussion on the continent of Africa apace. Today, we wrap our minds around a very important subject, the subject of trade. And in order to understand and appreciate trade in the continent of Africa, we must be very definite that we are talking about post-colonial Africa. And it's normally proper to remind ourselves that only three countries were saved that pain. At least Ethiopia was saved that pain in terms of this post-1960 consideration. Liberia came a little earlier and Egypt in 1922. But the question is, has Africa fared well in the context of the contestations of trade? We now know and almost talk about it as if it were common. We had the GATT, General Agreement on Tariffs, which of course was replaced by the WTO rules. And the whole idea behind the WTO rules was to ensure that trade is conducted in a manner that is proper and conscientious so that the weak is not dominated or abused by the strong. But the reality is different. The reality is that the WTO rule is not more than the paper that is written on in terms of its actual value. The reality is that in North America, to be exact, the United States of America and Europe have always wanted to dominate international trade. And many are the times that Africa finds herself in the crossfire. And that crossfire has been enhanced in the recent past, particularly with the rise of China as the factory of the world. It cannot be denied that in the last 30 years, many companies, those based in Europe, based in the United States of America, have migrated their manufacturing to China for a number of reasons. Those reasons include cost of labor, they include cost of electricity, and all these factors conjoined have created an environment where Africa suffers the fate of what the great Kenyan Ali Mazrui once spoke about, that Africa produces what it does not consume and consumes what it does not produce. And this is brought about by the reality that Africa is still an exporter of primary goods. It exports gold in its ore form, iron ore in its ore form, it exports coffee, it exports tea in its raw form, and therefore remains susceptible to the manipulation of other players in the world. So the question that one asks, what is the position? What is the fate of the continent of Africa in this new reality? A reality where the United States of America tells Africa, you must, under the African Growth Opportunities Act, AGOA, agree to a number of things. One of them is that you must receive second-hand clothing. Number two, that you must receive items that have been used and consumed in the United States of America. And it is only on that basis that we are going to ensure that we decrease or reduce tariffs. Europe, on the other hand, is telling you, you must be the recipient of goods which we have discarded. Our bureaus of standardization must be the bureaus of standardization that determine what is coming into the continent of Africa. On the other hand, you have a China which is saying, we give you what you desire, and we are going to collaborate with you on the terms that you desire. So that the environment created is a conflictual environment. Conflictual in the sense that on the one hand, you had the conceptual West led by the United States of America, with Europe largely as a poodle, and you have China on the one hand, which has a combination of quiet diplomacy and very powerful economic agenda. And then in that same space, you have the emergence of the BRICS. And all these are coming at a time when African countries are weak. But that is not to say, even as we talk about Africa's weakness and Africa's victimhood in the crossfire, that Africa has never realized this. Many of us will remember that as early as 1980, under the Lagos Plan of Action, African countries met and agreed that we are going to enhance and improve intra-African trade as the bulwark against being dictated to by Europe, America, or Asia, or India, or whichever the players are. But the Lagos Plan of Action was almost dead on arrival. We have also had initiatives such as the Lomé Convention. We have had initiatives such as the Cotonou Agreement. And unfortunately, all these agreements by African initiatives have not helped to strengthen the continent of Africa. We have arrangements within the regional communities such as SADC, ECOWAS, East African Community, Central Africa, in the Maghreb, but it would be remiss on my part if I did not say that these regional initiatives and continental-ish initiatives notwithstanding, African countries are still manipulated at a bilateral level, which then begs the question, facing as she does, the barrels of Western Europe, the barrels of China on the one hand, what is the fate and position of Africa, remembering also that most African transactions are terminated in the dollar, so that if one wants to move money from Accra in Ghana, the bank, the agent bank, would ordinarily be in the United States of America, and the mode of transferring that money will be SWIFT or IBAN. The net effect, therefore, is this, that we have a continent which continues to be exploited by both sides. Of course, one side is exploiting you, stabbing you while they are grinning, and another one is stabbing you when they are laughing. But at the end of the process, you are stabbed and you are dying and bleeding nevertheless. That is the fate of the continent of Africa. And even when new initiatives come to the fore as an attempt to have a pushback on the parasitic ways of Western Europe, even in those initiatives, Africa still remains weak. Let us look at BRICS. Good on paper. Necessary, if you ask me. But what is the position and the status of Africa represented as she does, as she is, rather, by South Africa? A number of countries have since joined. But look at the economies of Africa that we are talking about. If you look at the economies of the major African countries and use the GDP as an index, Nigeria, give or take, $500 billion United States dollars. South Africa, give or take, another $400 billion. Egypt, give or take, $500 billion. And if you look at those economies, they are so small that they are incapable of withstanding the pressures that are being mounted because, once again, of a number of reasons. The cost of energy in Africa, so that you cannot, or one cannot, talk about meaningful manufacturing in the continent of Africa. Number two, the ability to move goods. With the number of conflicts going on in Africa now, haulage of goods from one place to the other is almost becoming impossible. If you look at the disruption that are taking place in the Sahel, the disruption that are taking place in Northern Africa, it makes it difficult to move goods. The other thing is tariff and non-tariff barriers. And these non-tariff barriers, both tariff and non-tariff barriers, are sometimes imposed by external powers. Because, believe it or not, many African countries are still manipulated under organizations such as La Francophonie, where France continues to dominate the trade agenda in her former colonies. The British also continue to dominate our former colonies under the aegis of the Commonwealth. And of course, We know the Belgians also continue to dominate trade in countries such as the Democratic Republic of Congo. So this combination of factors makes Africa to remain a victim in this war of titans, which is being undertaken in the trade environment. And one hopes and prays, and perhaps Africa is doing too much praying without doing too much working. One hopes that Africa will move into the next agenda of giving practical meaning to the decisions that have been made about African trade as one of the ways of ensuring that we are not victims. Africa Continental Free Trade Area, headquartered in Accra, Ghana, is one such initiative. Africa Agenda 2063 is one such initiative, creating common markets and having payment systems that de-dollarize. The de-dollarization of African economies is going to be one of the ways in which Africa is going to regain economic independence. And Africa must remember that the rules that were prescribed under the WTO are now just on paper. Africa must remember that the President of the United States is now by fiat telling everybody who dares to move in a different direction will do you tariff. The new game in town is tariff from the United States of America, and the only way to ensure that we in the continent of Africa immunize ourselves is, number one, to work as one block. Number two, to find new partners. And it is instructive that Africa is moving in that direction under BRICS. And I believe that if Africa were to be in this space, this is the space that Africa wants to be, because we must always remember these important words of Ghana's Kwame Nkrumah, that neocolonialism is the last stage of imperialism and is the most dangerous, because it is no longer classical colonization, but it is colonization by domination of economies. And the avenue of domination is the avenue of what is called trade, which in truth is raid rather than trade. So Africa has diagnosed the problem. Africa must now go to the next step of taking the prescriptions, which I believe can be found within the African Union Agenda 2063 and within the BRICS arrangement. In that way, we will liberate ourselves, because the ultimate liberation is economic liberation. And the cost of energy and the mix of energy in Africa is something that must be brought to the fore. Right now, Africa relies largely on the very unpredictable and weather-dependent hydro. We also know that we have a little geo, and we also know that we have a little, for the moment, solar. But it is to be recognized that in order to go to the next space, we need cheap energy. And when you look at cheap energy, there are countries that we can collaborate with. And many of you will be aware of the ongoing discussions and collaboration between the Russian Federation and Burkina Faso and Mali. And I believe that is the space in which you want to get into, to go into the peaceful use of nuclear, among other things, as a way of ensuring that we have cheap energy. Remember, Western Europe has always been clear. You keep Africa at a low level of generation of electricity so that it becomes a market in perpetuity. And I hope that going forward, and as Africa continues to collaborate with new partners and old friends, even in the days of the struggle for independence, such as China and Russia, that this is the direction that we are going to face. And it gladdens my heart that in these very early days, we are beginning to see such collaboration, particularly with the new Sahel countries. And I hope that those collaborations will ultimately be embraced and, of course, integrated in the entire African energy ecosystem. And in that way, we will then make the claim that we want to industrialize. Industrialization without cheap energy is a pie in the sky. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much as we continue to wrap our minds around the continent of Africa and the matters that affect us. But let us take a break. We'll see you next time. Thank you very much.